All right, open your Bibles to 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter is one of the smaller books back towards the back of the Bible. You know, as a nation, the United States of America, we are a country at war. We are fighting wars on two fronts, and that's just what we can see. But you know, the reality is, many of us aren't living as though we're at war. We don't experience bombs crashing into our backyard. I don't see people growing vegetables in their backyards for the war effort or anything like that. And to be honest, these wars are nothing more than political footballs in many of our minds. We're not affected by them as we ought to be for a nation being at war. Where I lived in England for 5 years, I was in a community that was built just outside the city of Portsmouth for dock workers who had been bombed out in World War II. And we had a handful of people in our congregation who had experienced that. Some had even fought in the war. And they had some fascinating stories to say what it was like during a war. Because when the bombs are flying around, there is a real awareness that we are at war. There is a real awareness that life is precious. When you're at war, you need accurate information. You can't pay attention to any of the propaganda. When you're at war, you have to sacrifice. I was amazed at how I would hear of people giving up the things that they did for a greater cause because they knew it really mattered. Casualties were to be expected because you're at war. And there's a lesson for us today in the church. We are at war. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says this: "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a Lord of the universe and our victorious general. Lord, thank you for giving us your word, instructions for how to live. Lord, thank you that in Christ we will win. We thank you that you are greater than he who is battling against us. Lord, I pray that today, as a church, you would heighten our awareness of the war that we're in. And Lord, I pray having this awareness of the war would transform the way we live for good. Lord, as a church body, you know that there are many things going on. You know everything that is going on in all of our lives. You know the hurts, the aches, and the pains. Lord, today we especially lift up to you the Linton family and Nancy in the passing away of her father. I pray that you would overwhelm this family with your grace and peace right now. Lord, for all of us, I pray that you would prepare us to meet with you. Make us battle ready. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are at war as a church. Now, when you live in the suburbs, as we do, of the United States, it's kind of low-key what goes on. We don't see a whole lot of what you think of when you think of voodoo and spiritual warfare. There's not a whole lot of sensational stuff going on. Recently, the chief exorcist of the Vatican says that there's been some funny stuff going on there, but we don't see much of that. We don't see people's heads spinning around 360 degrees unless, like me, you've got a two-year-old in the house and they're having a tantrum, okay? We just don't see much of that sort of thing. It's very low-key where we are, but we are at war. Our enemy is Satan, just as you've seen in this passage that we read here. Who is Satan? He is the most powerful angel ever created, and this power went to his head, his power, his beauty, his talent. And he thought he could knock off God, but he couldn't. And he was cast out of heaven. He's fallen because he rebelled against God. And when he was cast out of heaven, it says he took a third of the angels with him. And those angels that went bad following Satan are what we call now demons. Satan is a liar and a murderer. He exists to twist and distort the truth. He exists to destroy that which God has made. He wants to wreck everything. He is a deceiver, and he masquerades as an angel of light. And that's the 2 Corinthians reference up there. Satan knows that if we saw him for who he is, we'd be terrified. And so Satan will weasel in, and he'll try to act like he's better than he is. He will come in as a disguise. He will fool us. And Satan is an accuser. What he loves to do is take pot shots at God's people. That's a little bit about who our enemy is. And just as important as understanding who he is, we've got to understand who he is not. Satan is not Jesus' evil equal. Satan is not a twin of Jesus that just went bad. Satan is a created being. God is the creator. That trumps Satan right there. Satan is not invincible. And Satan is not going to win at the end. Although in any war, there are going to be casualties taken on both sides. As a Christian, you know that life is not easy. And one of the reasons that it's not easy for us is we have an enemy who would love to destroy us, who would love to see us neutralized. So how does he fight? Satan adapts to his surroundings. Satan would love to distract us from the truth. He would like us to take us away from whatever really matters. So we've got to recognize this strategy that he will take. He adapts to us. He has a warfare plan for the American suburbs that is perfect so that we will miss out on what God has for us. He has a plan that is perfect to destroy us. You see, Satan really doesn't care if we're living on a dump and in physical misery. Satan is quite happy if we're rich and have everything the world has to offer, if we're living far apart from God. Satan isn't too bothered about our immediate surroundings. He just wants us to miss what God wants. He wants us to miss the truth that God has laid out there. You see, one of Satan's most effective weapons is doubt. And he will have a field day with doubt in our lives. As I've said, we may not see spectacular spiritual warfare. None of us hopefully will end up in an experience like The Exorcist or anything like that. But Satan's job is done if he can get us to believe the doubts and the lies that he wants into our lives. Because when the doubts build up and we don't challenge the doubts, then distrust seeps in. And before you know it, we start questioning everything. We start doubting, well, that can't really be true. The scripture is very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. It says, you know, we don't fight a war with swords and planes and tanks just as people think of when we think of war. It is a battle of the mind. And in verse 5, it says that we are to challenge every thought that comes across our mind. But when the thoughts come across our mind that lead us to doubt God, if we start following along, then we've lost the battle right there. We must challenge every thought that comes across. Satan wants you to doubt several really important things. First of all, he wants you to doubt that you're at war. You know, that spiritual warfare stuff, that's a little bit nuts. You know, you come to church and it's all about, you know, Jesus making you a better person or Jesus fixing you for this or for that. But, you know, all that Satan stuff and spiritual war, that's really kind of extreme. I mean, you don't really believe in that sort of stuff, do you? And those thoughts will take hold in us. You read about people or you read about excesses or silliness and you just think, oh, man, yeah, maybe that is kind of weird. Maybe, you know, we're just not quite at war. But scripture is very clear. Satan is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Now, there's something you got to understand, though, because scripture doesn't waste any of its words. And when he talks about Satan as a lion, we can learn about how lions hunt. You see, the lion that roars is usually the one that's not a big deal. What they do is lions will hunt in packs, and the healthy, fit ones are the ones that slink around in the tall grass. They don't want anyone to see them. And what they'll usually do is they'll find one of the older lions, one of the unhealthier ones, and if they could talk to each other, they'd say something like this: Leo, look, we just want you to go out here and you just scream. And that's what they do. This one lion will roar and the prey will say, whoa, there's lions there, and they'll dash off into the ones who are fitter and healthier and hiding in the tall grass. Satan knows that if we saw him for who he truly is, we would be terrified and we would run straight into Jesus' arms. He knows that. So he's thinking, I don't want people to run into Jesus' arms. I want you to stay at arm's length from Jesus. I want you to think that you can cope with life by yourselves. That's what Satan says. Don't worry about this spiritual warfare stuff. You're doing all right. You know, you're a respectable person. You go to church. You know, you manage your life. Don't worry about all this stuff. If we really knew the war we were in, every day we would make a point of running into Jesus' arms saying, Lord, I need you today. I need to stand in the truth of what you say in Scripture and believe it. We need to fight back by being aware of the war that we are in. We need to be self-controlled and alert. That means that we don't let a day go by, a moment go by, and just let time fritter away. Time is an incredible gift that God has given us. He wants us to be alert. Satan would love to attack us. He'd love to just plant a seed of doubt in our minds. Man, don't worry. You're fine by yourself. Just truck right along. The instant that thought goes through our mind and we don't challenge it and we believe it, we've lost a battle and we're drifting away from God. And that's a bad place to be. Satan wants us to doubt we're at war. Satan would also want us to doubt that God is faithful. And he has a field day with this. In the garden, you know what he said to Eve? Hey, did God really say that? He really didn't mean that tree, did he? And he just plants this weaselly little thought in your mind. Well, you know, can I really trust God? Is God able to do that? Man, I don't know. It sure didn't seem like God's coming through now. And then we start worrying. We start doubting. And Satan is really bold in this attack. It's one thing to do it to Adam and Eve, just as it would be to do it to us. But do you know that when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, if you think about it, is the author of the Bible. And what does Satan do? Satan comes out to Jesus and he twists Scripture. Jesus is the author, and Satan misquotes it to him, saying, oh, you can do this, you can do that. Oh, God really is looking out for you. And every time Jesus responded to him with Scripture, with the truth of Scripture. We need to fight back when those doubts come into our mind. We need to fight back when life may not be going as planned. We need to fight back when it looks like, well, wait a minute, God might be dropping the ball on me right here. Yep, I know he's taking care of everyone else, but I might be the first person that he's going to let down. All those thoughts will come through our mind. We need to fight back with the Scripture that we see here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourself before God. When the doubts come, when things aren't going the way we expect them to be, when we realize we are not in control, we need to humble ourselves and say, okay, Lord, you are on the throne. You are the king of the universe, and I am not. And I will worship you. I will choose to trust you. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Those words are deliberate right there, under God's mighty hand. Will we recognize that even when life seems way beyond our control and it isn't going as we'd expect, that God's hand is mighty, that he really can do anything? You know, as life goes on, I think we often get jaded from that which we know to be true. You know, our children will sing songs about, my God can do anything, my God is so great and so strong and so powerful. We'll sing songs like, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. But then the doubts enter into our mind. Well, you know, God's faithful to a lot of other people, but I sure seem to be missing out on some things. Will we believe the truth that God is as mighty as the scriptures say that he is? And this verse carries on and it says, and he will exalt you in due time. You see, God's time schedule is very different than ours. We hear this so many times, but we need to hear it time and time again. We're a fast food culture. When I am in difficult times, I want God to fix it right now. I can't stand any more of this. And God may have plans way beyond what we can imagine. He may say, I am going to allow you to go through some of this because I have something far greater I want to do through you. And so often we try to circumvent that and say, I want the pain to go away and I want to be better now. God says, no, I've got something that I am doing, which is fantastic. Will you humble yourself under my mighty hand and let me do a work in and through you, which later on you'll just say, wow, God is amazing. In due time, he will lift you up. Satan would love to get in there and say, he will lift you up. Yeah, right. Look, you're in the dumps right now. Will you believe the truth of Scripture? Will you challenge those thoughts when they come into your mind? No, I believe what God says in his word. He will lift me up in due time. I sure wish it would happen a lot sooner, but I will trust that God will lift me up in due time. Fight back. Don't let those thoughts run rampant in our mind. Satan would love you to doubt God's faithfulness. Satan would also love you to doubt what God thinks of you. And he has all kinds of fun with this. In Revelation chapter 12, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of Christians. And that one of his jobs is just to stand before God and say, look at so-and-so. They're one of your people and look at them messing up right here. Look, can you see what they're doing right now? How can you call this person yours? And then he gets into our minds when we mess up. Man, I've let God down. Man, if the people in my office knew I was a Christian, I just need to quit. If those thoughts are going through your mind, you know God didn't put them there. You're not good enough. Satan loves to fill us with that. And there is something about us as human beings in our DNA, we feel we have to prove our worth. The great thing about real, genuine Christianity is all of us know we're not good enough. So when these doubts and thoughts come into my mind, I had to just respond, you know, you're right, I am not good enough. But Jesus is. And he is the one that I'm counting on. Jesus has done everything that needed to be done so I could be right with God. Jesus will give me the power to live the life that I ought to be doing. Satan wants us to think you've fallen short, you've blown it, you've wrecked things. But in real Christianity, we say, yep, you know, I have fallen short. But Jesus will take care of things. We need to fight back with the scriptures. In verse 7 of 1 Peter 5, it says this, cast all your anxiety on God because he cares for you. When those doubts start coming into you about how you've messed up, how you're no good, how God will never use you, you know those thoughts aren't from God. And the first thing you need to do is cast all your anxiety on God. Now, when you take your anxiety, all the junk, all the weights, all the things that are burdening you, if you are going to throw them on God, the implication is that you believe he's able to do something about it. He is big enough to take anything we can throw his way. Cast all your anxiety on God. And then I love this next phrase, because he cares for you. This is the God of the universe who flung the stars into space, who can do anything. Yet he knows what's going on in each of our lives. And he knows the things that weigh us down. you know, there's something happens to us in church world. It gets drilled into us that we need to serve, and that's good. But so often, we carry around weights and burdens because we don't want to interrupt other people, we don't want to be a bother to God, or someone else has something so much worse than us. God says, cast all your burdens on me. When something is getting you down, do you believe that he is big enough to take your burden and that he cares for you? Satan would love you to think, look, God is too busy. Yeah, what you've got going on, man, it's just this little relationship issue. Don't worry, you know, forget it. God is running the universe. Leave him alone. But God wants us to come to him with everything. He cares for us. Will we believe that? The scripture goes on in Romans chapter 8, great passage, and it's talking about all kinds of things that people are going to face in life. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The question is asked in Romans 8, verse 35. And then picking up in verse 37, it says this, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you read through that list and you will see that that means everything. Not just, well, you know, there are certain things you can do in which you mess up so bad that you've really blown it. Or, well, no, there's certain things that are just so petty and small. Sorry, you're going to have to take that by yourself. Scripture is very clear. Nothing can separate us who come to Christ in faith from the love of God. Nothing. Yet Satan has a field day planting those thoughts in our mind. God really didn't care about you. You've messed up so badly, you probably ought to just slink around, maybe show up at church a few times, but whatever you do, don't try to live for Christ. He wants you to doubt what God thinks of you. Another angle that Satan will take on doubt is he would love for us to doubt each other. Satan loves it when in church world there's misunderstanding and confusion and mistrust going on with us. The fingerprints of Satan's presence are when there's mistrust and dissension in a church. Now, I've grown up in church world all my life. I've been a pastor now for 12, 13 years. And I am telling you, it is stunning to me what people in churches will divide over. Absolutely stunning. If you think about this, the God of the universe loved us before time began, has done everything that needed to be done so that we would be right with God. And then we get distracted. God has done all of this and he says, here's really what I want you to do. I want you to love me, I want you to love people, and I want you to tell people about me. That's really what the Christian life boils down to. Pretty straightforward. And then the icing on the cake is God says, I'll even give you the power and the strength and the desire to do those things. Just stay on focus. But we get distracted so easily. Churches get ripped apart over the color of carpeting, or you'll walk past someone and, you know, and maybe you say hi to them and they don't say hi back to you. And before you know it, they don't like me. Something really weird is going on here. But did you ever stop to think that, well, what's going on in their life? Or maybe they just didn't even see me. It's really frightening how in church world, misunderstandings and misperceptions can split people apart. We need to fight back. And the scripture go on in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We resist Satan. That means we have an awareness of the war that we're in. We recognize that he wants us divided. Satan would love it if people just came into church, sat, faced forward, ignored one another, heard something, put it in their Sunday box, and went back and lived the rest of the week like it was the rest of the week. We resist Satan. We stand firm in the faith. That's when all of us need to say, wait a minute. The faith is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. What if God's people united around the gospel and God's greatness? What if we all chose to commit ourselves to spreading the good news of Jesus? Yet there's something about church world where once we can get a church established, we love to turn ourselves in on one another and either do stuff which really has no eternal significance, or we like to fight over things which really don't matter. God says, stay on focus. People are suffering. Try to understand what others might be going through. If you misunderstand them, or if they do something that you take badly, well, don't run with your feelings on it. Check. Maybe the reason they ignored you is they didn't see you. Maybe the reason they ignored you is because they've just lost their job and they're thinking, oh, Lord, what's going to go on? Maybe the reason they're ignoring you is they're going through a hard family situation, and it's not that they're ignoring you, they're just preoccupied with that. We've got to stand together as Christians. You know, spiritual warfare, as I've said, in our area is very, you're not going to see much of the spectacular stuff that they make movies about. And a lot of it you're not even going to see directly. But just as when a plane flies real high in the sky and you see the condensation trail, the contrail of satanic warfare is when Christians are divided and distracted from what really matters. And that division and that distraction is fueled by the doubts that we don't challenge with the truth. Because we're at war, we need to speak to ourselves rather than listen to ourselves. And I don't mean stand in a corner and speak to yourself so people think you're nuts. When I say speak to ourselves, we need to take the truth of Scripture and have that frame the way we think about things, rather than our feelings, which are up and down and all over the place. If we just listen to ourselves and the way we feel about things, we'll be all over. But if we speak to ourselves the truth of Scripture, we'll have stability in life. So recognizing that I'm at war, I'm going to make some choices. I'm going to make a choice to say what God wants is more important than anything else. I may disagree with some other people on things, but I want God's priorities to be my priority, and that's how I'm going to frame things. I'll humble myself before God and every day say, Lord, I need you. I'll humble myself before God and spend time with Him in prayer throughout the day. I'll humble myself before God and want to do what He says in Scripture. And when I think of how we live with one another, I'll humble myself around people. I'll seek to understand those who are different than me. You know, on the one hand, it's the divine comedy who God puts in churches. Different temperaments, different personalities, different styles. In the one way, it's a recipe for behavior, for disaster. But if we really had a glimpse of how great our God is and His plan for us, man, we'd forget all our differences and we'd say, how can we work together for that which will last forever and make a difference? I'll humble myself before other people and I won't run away with my doubts and insecurities about how someone treated me or how I perceive they treated me. I'll respect them enough to go to them and say and find out, say, hey, you know, it didn't seem like we had a good interaction. Anything I can help you with? I'll humble myself before other people. And when a misunderstanding arises, I'll extend grace and give them the benefit of the doubt. Because Satan would love to see us distracted and divided. You know, it may not feel like we're at war. We live in a nice suburban area. but we are at war. What needs to change in your life so that you're winning a war? Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that you are greater than the one that is against us. Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts and minds right now to stir an awareness of this war into our minds. Lord, I pray in this moment of silence that you would challenge us on the things we need to change so that we can fight to win. Lord, let us be a people who are humble before you and believe what you say and trust you. And let us be a people who are humble before one another and give each other the benefit of the doubt. Oh Lord, I pray that you would use us here at Cedar Run greatly for your glory, and that we would experience victory in the war that we're in daily. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.